we left off last time in Daniel chapter 8, I believe. Was it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Yeah, Daniel chapter 8. Let's go there. And as we gather more evidence regarding the mother. Now, again, I'm not going to be teaching all the doctrine. I'll just make some comments. I understand that you guys are like kind of salivating and wanting to see all this doctrine. Everyone's interested in second coming events in the Antichrist. You know why? I guess that's that gambling instinct in our flesh. We always want to know the future. But don't worry about it. You'll get it in time when it's time to teach it. For our purpose and for this study, I try to keep the comments as much as I can to the subject at hand. Okay. Daniel chapter 8. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw, that I was in Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high. But one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and forward came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. Now it will be great when we get to this in school, show you the details of it. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down during the middle of the trip. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground. There you go. Big clue regarding the mother. When the Antichrist is in power in the middle of the tribulation, it will take the truth and just cast it down to the ground. All right? And it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That is, at towards the end, after the trib ends, then the cleansing still takes place after that. And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. Great clue here, okay? When you read something in the scriptures, don't sit there and try to figure it out and run the commentaries from some bozo who never figured it out and just put what he thought, okay? Just because people see something in print, they think, oh, it's got to be right. Right, maybe. Listen, angels speak the commandments of the Lord. They carry them out. They speak what God says. And you're going to see when Daniel did not understand, okay, he sought for the meaning. Then God's going to send the angel to him. Verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. That's the same Gabriel who came to Mary, who came to Zacharias. Regarding John the Baptist, Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, okay? People think, too, wow, that'd be cool if that happened to me. Listen, you got God the Holy Spirit in you and the completed Word of God, okay? Gabriel, all right, is not better than that, all right? So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. There's a big clue. what you're going to read a lot in Daniel now is for the time of the end. And there's even going to be a lot of Daniel where people say, I don't understand, or what is this, or what is this? Because you're not going to understand till the time of the end. Verse 18, now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. Now he can know this. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. You notice when God explains something here through Gabriel, it's just boom, boom, boom. Simple, right there. Okay? Truly simple. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. I'm reading all this to you because it is so applicable in the mother, because this stuff is real. What's going on? You're going to see. I'm going to get a lot into it today. Dark sentences shall stand up. Verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice, watch this, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Now that's the prediction regarding the saints of the Most High during this time of the trib and the second half of the trib especially. And through his policy, so this policy of the Antichrist, which is who? The mother's policy, okay, which comes directly from Satan. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Listen carefully to me. Did you ever wonder about some of these cell phones? I got just a simple BlackBerry here. But some of these iPhones and Droids and all the other technology and all of these other crafts that come up. You know, the satanic genius of unsaved people is amazing. It is. You see, unsaved people, whose the spirit of Satan is in them, according to Ephesians 2, their unsaved genius is satanically inspired. Do you wonder where they come up with all this stuff? Huh? What do you think, some man just sat and figured it out? Verse 25, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace shall destroy many. Look at that. The Antichrist, and that the mother's top man on the planet, Judas Iscariot, by peace shall destroy many. In the guise of peace, peacekeepers. Do you know how many times in the wars that men get themselves involved in countries, they send peacekeepers to Bosnia, or they send peacekeepers, and they slaughter people. Peacekeepers. That are slaughtering people. He shall also stand up against the prince, capital P of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. So the Antichrist stands up against the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't going to work. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. So shut it up. It's not going to be for many days, Daniel. All right? So understand something. It's going to come, and then it'll be true. All right? Verse 27, and I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Oh, at least that was a true statement back then. All right, now, chapter 9. Now it gets even better. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. Oh, really? The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. 70 years. Where do you think? He was reading the book of Jeremiah. Preservation, huh? Book's there. That he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said. So prayer is confession. Confession is praying. They're the same. They're synonyms. And said. And it's a work, by the way, listen to those lessons regarding Romans 10. And said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Now, as Daniel goes through this prayer, watch for the reasons that they're so in such dire straits. Verse 5, we have sinned. and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. You leave the book, you don't believe the book is all authority, and you go to your own brain. Okay? That's all the time will get you screwed up. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Daniel continues, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us, because they've sinned and departed from the book, confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. You notice the mother, and Daniel is praying and confessing this, the mother's policies have gotten, of course, Israel completely destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, carried off, and this is years after that captivity began. And it's in that seven-year period that Jeremiah said they would be captive till the rebuilding of the wall. But the point is, it's the mother's policies that got them there. And Daniel's admitting it. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. Forgiveness is, yep, that's it, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. Notice, under the whole heaven. Right? Now watch this. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. See? The only way you're going to understand the book is to turn, and this is as a believer, you got to stop that sin. See, when you, sin easily besets us, Hebrews says. If you're a believer, you have the capacity to understand the Word of God perfectly. But your sin, okay, is what clogs your brain. The Word of the Lord doesn't have free course in you, as Thessalonians says. It goes in and gets all mixed up with your human viewpoint. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. How many times is Daniel admitting that they didn't obey the book? That is the goal of the mother, to get you to not obey the book, to think you have peace and everything's okay, and you walk in the imagination of your own thinking. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee, for our righteousness is before thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. Notice in Israel's program they were to pray for forgiveness. Okay? That's how it worked. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Now look, notice this. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin. Ha ha. So prayer is confession. You pay attention to those Roman 10 lessons this week on the radio. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Now this gets phenomenal. We've got to judge this in time. Okay, we got enough time. Good. Okay, now this gets absolutely phenomenal. Verse 21. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. So he calls him the man Gabriel, and Gabriel's flying around. Touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And that is because, not that Daniel knew he was an angel. He knew that. It's just that angels in the Bible are men. How many times have you seen, now you listen closely to me, How many times have you seen pictures of angels? They're all over. And every single time they have wings. Let me tell you what. You know who has wings in the Bible? Demons have wings in the Bible, we shall see in Revelation. Demons do. Now, the cherubim have wings. Okay? Angels do not have wings. And they're not sexless. They're men. Okay? They look like men. They're powerful. Some are, they're in rank structure. Some are mighty. Some are not as high as others. But, hey, they're not sexless. They're men, and they don't have wings. Okay? All right. Verse 22, and Gabriel says to Daniel, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Now watch closely. Gabriel says, Daniel, because Daniel was praying, and he's come forth now to give him skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, okay, that's when you started praying, the commandment came forth. The commandment came from God, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Oh, wouldn't you like to have God tell you that? Wouldn't you? Well, he does. He says in Romans 1 to the church today, beloved of God, called to be saints. Okay. Greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter, consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. That's Jerusalem. Israel has 70 weeks. A week here is 7 years. That's 490 years. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Oh, amen. And to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. That's the Lord Jesus. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. How is that? 7, 60, 7, and 2. 69 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he, notice, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The mother's big plot. For 1 week, that's 7 years, there's going to be a covenant confirmed by the Antichrist. All right? And in the midst of the week, in the middle of the 7 years, at the 3.5 year mark, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ calls the second half of the trib the Great Tribulation. Now, chapter 10. I'm just still just giving you some framework here. It's trying to restrain myself and just keep to the subject at hand. In the third year of Cyrus, chapter 10 now, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. What is that? Okay. 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. Boy, this stuff is real, huh? Watch this. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. I'm reading all the context of Daniel here, so you will see something so phenomenal in here. Verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Notice, when God speaks, you stand up, be a man. That's a great thing there. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. Keep thy heart with all diligence, Proverbs says, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is your mind, and you better guard it with all diligence. You better just set your heart to understand this book. Okay? That's all you need. Now watch this. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now, watch what what this angel tells. Gabriel tells him. Now, watch what he tells him. Understand, Daniel's on the earth. God Almighty lives in the third heaven. Now, the first heaven is where you look in the sky and you see the birds fly. The second heaven we call outer space. Okay? Forget what scientists tell you what's going on in there. But back then, God's going to send, the angel down to Daniel to answer his prayers. Watch what happened. Verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So the angel comes. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. The prince of the kingdom of Persia? Who's that? Well, keep reading. But lo, Michael, that's Michael the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. You know what's happening here? It is so clear that the angel Gabriel is telling Daniel, that he came to talk to Daniel, and as Gabriel leaves the third heaven, and goes down through the second heaven, he meets up with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, what's so amazing about that, there is a Persia on the earth. Earth Persia, right? Well, there is the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, do you think this was an earthly prince? An earthly prince that was just, what did he do? Send up missiles up there and he took Gabriel captive? No, not at all. Now, watch this. I want to show you something here too about this prince of the kingdom of Persia. When he says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. For 21 days, Gabriel comes down and is taken prisoner of war by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. That prince is a satanic prince. Satan is the chief adversary. He has princes, angels in rank, that were high-ranking angels, princes, who rebelled with him and followed his program of evil. And they dwell in those heavenly places we're going to take a look at. And as Gabriel goes through, the prince of the kingdom of Persia stops him. And he takes him captive for 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So he was prisoner there for 21 days. Michael had to come and help him. Now I want to show you something about that prince of the kingdom of Persia. Go with me to the book of Colossians. Get Colossians and Ephesians. Let's stop first at Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to show you something here. You got to watch real closely now. Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You better get this and mark it down. When you become a saint, as in Ephesians, your battle is no longer with the physical flesh of the heretics or anybody else or other unsaved people or people who think they're saved or anybody. It is not with flesh and blood. You have to understand that. I understand this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That wrestling is hand-to-hand combat. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now that wrestling against not against flesh and blood, but is against who? Principalities. Principalities, plural. There are positions of princes in the second heaven. Okay? We're seeing one right here, the Prince of Persia. Now listen, we're going to see it in Colossians. The Prince of Persia, who occupies a throne in that second heaven, there are thrones there. You can't see them. They're invisible, Colossians says. But that prince that occupies that throne, okay? The Prince of Persia, he also governs the Persia on the earth. Mark it down. The Prince of Persia, okay, who's in the second heaven, who's a satanic prince, he's a prince, he rules the earthly Persia. And in that Persia territory up in the second heaven, we'll see there's a geographical location up in the second heaven called Persia. And it rules the earthly Persia. See, Satan's the prince of this, the power of the air. He's the god of this world. And he has it all in rank structure, and they govern Persia. So Persia today on the earth is run by the Prince of Persia in the heavenlies, which is a satanic prince. So you wonder why things are screwed up. And there is a prince that runs the United States. There's a prince up there that runs the United States. Believe it or not. I'm telling, well, just watch, just keep reading. So we see here, go back to Ephesians, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And those principalities, against powers, plural, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. There's rulers. They rule the darkness of this world. Okay? This world is in darkness. It's an evil world. There's rulers in the heavens. And as the book of Daniel says, the heavens do rule. Okay? The heavens rule the earth. Rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now look at Colossians chapter 1 and get some more details on these positions. Colossians chapter 1, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, look in verse 14, 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. And by the way, through his blood is out of the new satanic counterfeit Bibles. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm showing that it's Christ, who is the image, Christ, of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created. Now, he's not talking here about how they made the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the seas, all the rivers, the rocks, the trees, the beasts, the fish, the birds, man. He's not talking about that creation. You see, that's not the only thing going on here. There's other things going on. Look at this. We watch closely. Verse 16, for by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven. That's not the third heaven. That is not where God dwells. God already had this stuff. That are in heaven and that are in earth. Now watch, you'll be easy to understand. Visible and invisible. The earthly things we're going to see are visible. You can see them. What are the things he's talking about? Whatever they are, they're invisible, but they're in the heaven. You just can't see them. Look at the things that he's talking about. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible on the earth and invisible, whether they be thrones. Now think, the earth, visible thrones on the earth. You can understand what they are. You can see thrones, positions where rulers rule on the earth. Thrones. There's the same kind of thrones in the heaven. Okay? But they're invisible. You can't see them, but they're there. Next. Or dominions. Now, a throne is where a ruler sits, a prince sits. Then he has a dominion. The dominion is the geographical territory on which the throne rules over. Okay? For example, the Prince of Persia we see in Daniel. There is a Persia geographically on that has boundaries on the United States. There's also, that's visible. There's someone who rules Persia. In the heaven, there's the Prince of Persia, and he has a dominion up there. He has geographical locations in the heaven that correspond to the earth. Okay? Next. Or principalities. Principalities, then, are the princes that sit on these thrones. There's princes that sit on thrones. They're rulers. and they have dominions they rule over. It's under, you can see princes on the earth that have a kingdom and dominions. There's princes in the heaven. These are satanic princes, okay, or powers. And underneath those powers, underneath those princes are powers. Those are the lower level demons that do the work of the princes that rule from their thrones in their dominions. So the demons you see and the demons that do the rulings today are all governed by a prince who sits on a throne in Satan's kingdom. You can see the same thing here on the earth. Okay, there's people who rule, there's powers underneath them. When a president of a country or a ruler or a king of a country puts the word out, he has powers that enforce his word and his dominion, which he rules from his throne. That's visible. Same thing taking place in the heavenlies. You see that? Now look at Colossians 1:16 again. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones on the earth, that's in heaven too. Or dominions on the earth, there's dominions in heaven. Or principalities that sit on these thrones, these princes, the office is still in the heavens. There's princes or powers that enforce everything the prince would have on the earth, as well as there's powers in the heavens. All things were created by him and for him. So that's what it's talking about. He's not talking about the birds, the rocks, and the trees here. So go back with me with that understood. What time we got? Okay, go back with me to Daniel chapter 10. So when the angel says in verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. This satanic prince, as Gabriel passes through, he's taken hostage by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Obviously, he's more in rank than Gabriel, or he couldn't have taken Gabriel hostage. So what did Gabriel have to do? But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes in rank, had to come, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So Michael, who's higher in rank than the prince of Persia, comes to rescue Gabriel. Now watch, it gets even better. Look at verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. See, this was an important answer to this prayer. Look at verse 15. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Just like this great book. What has June the cat got? June? What has she been? You know, see, this is what happens when my little helper's in bed. June the cat is on a tirade. I don't even know if she has my glasses off. I can't see far. Okay. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, now watch this closely. Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Don't you know why I'm coming here? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. Now, Gabriel has to go back to the third heaven. And he knows, listen, if he had all that trouble coming down and the prince of Persia was taken captive for 21 days, he knows when he goes back, he's going to have to fight with the prince of Persia on the way back to the third heaven. Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. I want you to see, the mother has you convinced of this. When you look up into the heavens, you see the pretty sky, the sunset, and all the pretty birds. And yes, it is pretty, and it is God's creation, even though it's fallen and sin-cursed, but it's still God's creation. But you have no clue of what's beyond what you see. And those princes rule this earth. And as they're divided there in Persia, there you can see it's even more. And it's real. But the mother has everybody convinced. The mother of Revelation 17 has everyone convinced, that ain't really like that. Yes, it is. Okay, now look at verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. Now remember what happened last time. He came through. The prince of Persia took him hostage for 21 days. What happened? Michael, one of the chief princes, come and breaks him out and fights and gets him out, right? And now he knows, June, June, get out of there. Hold on 1 second. Get out of there. She got me. See, cats are crazy. Hold on. What is this? Let me see the victim here. What is this? Look at this. Unplug it. Do not remove this tag. Do not remove this tag. Keep away or run the risk of electrical shock. Who knows where she got that? All right. Back to the subject hand. Sorry. Verse 20. So then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. So he knows, Gabriel knows when he goes back, he's going to fight with the prince of Persia. Because remember, when he came down the first time, the prince of Persia got him, held him 21 days till Michael came, the chief prince, and got him out. So he could bring his prayer request and the prayers answered to Daniel. So, but now Gabriel's got to go back. And he goes, I know I'm going to fight with the prince of Persia again. Now look at verse 20 after the prince of Persia. Watch this. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. There's another demon, but he governs the territory of Grecia, which is Greece. Notice that. On the earth, we can understand Greece. Well, guess what? There's a prince in the heavens that rules Grecia. Because, see, the prince of Persia knew, man, Gabriel got away that first time. So guess what? I'm going to have to get reinforcements. So as Gabriel goes back, he knows he's going to fight with the prince of Persia and that the prince of Grecia is going to meet him. So those two princes are going to withstand Gabriel from getting back to the third heaven. This stuff is real. And if you've never heard it before, because that's been a thing that's been floating around lately. Well, I've never heard of the establishment clause, the heretic said. Clause, it's not a clause, goofball. It's the establishment commandment. Or other things, I've never heard of that. You know why? Because perhaps it's because you've never read through your Bible over 150 times. Duh! Following the establishment commandment. Their defense is, well, I've never heard of it. That's not a defense. Because you never heard of it. Who are you? The standard? You're the authority? No. So if you've never heard of this stuff, it's right there, though. You see it, though, don't you? It's sitting right there in black and white, third grade English. Look at it. It gets even better. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So Gabriel knows on his way back, he's going to have to go up to against two princes to get back to the third heaven. This stuff is real. The mother would have you think, that ain't real. Yes, it is. Verse 21, watch what the great Gabriel says. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. Ugh. You know, angels only speak what God tells them to speak, the book says. And he calls it here the scripture of truth. You see, that's how I know the NIV is a satanic lie. Because it says in Mark 1, 2, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, and it's not, that's a scripture of lies. It's not the scripture of truth. Okay, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Now that statement is huge. There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. It's obvious that there's Gabriel, there's Michael. So a lot of those princes followed the devil. Now, we don't have time to continue. Now, listen, be encouraged. What time is it? Here with the 44-minute mark. Look, the thing cuts off at 52 minutes. What can I tell you? So these oracles are always going to be 50 minutes long, which is plenty. You're getting them 5 days a week. That's a lot of doctrine. Besides that, in the radio shows, come on, in your own Bible reading, what, y'all don't work or nothing? I mean, come on. I mean, even the ones who, you know what? I wish I didn't have to work. Do you know how much more I could get done in 10 hours a day? Man, for the Lord? Phew. But you know, guess what? Listen, this stuff is real. The mother would have you believe, though, that it's not. That this is all just crazy talk. And be encouraged. What I wanted to tell you is we're just going to read, Lord willing, tomorrow, the next time, the last two chapters in Daniel and see what the mother's big plans are. That you won't understand until the latter days. The angel tells that to Dan. You won't understand until the end time, so don't worry about it. But anyways, it's going to go pretty quick then, and we will finish up the Old Testament like Not tomorrow, but probably the day after. So by Wednesday, we're done with the Old Testament, and praise the Lord, you're launched into the New Testament, and where the mother then really reveals her subtlety and her deadliness today. So mark it down. What we can learn today,